This podcast is brought to you by Knowledge at Wharton. For more information, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.
We're speaking today with Gary Dushnitsky, and he is a professor at London Business School and a former professor here at Wharton, and he's also still a senior fellow at the Mac Institute here at Wharton. And he's going to speak to us about an interesting topic having to do with venture capital and how it's used in the biotech industry, where he has found there's, I believe, two kinds of venture capital. There's independent venture capital that funds these companies that are startups, or there is corporate venture capital coming from, I guess, often pharmaceutical companies, larger companies, and the way that those monies are distributed and who they back are different depending on the source. So, Gary, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve, and hello, everyone. I have indeed been studying this phenomenon more broadly, the landscape for entrepreneurial finance, and specifically some of the changes, the interesting changes we've seen with large corporation investing hand-in-hand or side-by-side with the more traditional independent venture capitalists. In one of the projects that I would like to focus on today, we specifically looked at what is the effect that this shift in the funding landscape has on biotechnology startups. Now, if I just briefly overview what it is that we have done, we have observed, as did many practitioners, that there has been a change in who provides capital to many biotech startups. From mostly being traditional independent venture capitalists, we've seen over the last couple of decades large corporations, pharmaceuticals, playing an increasing role. And there's, from a startup perspective, it's great news that there these additional or alternative sources of funding. What was really curious for me and my co-author, Professor Lisa Alvarez-Garrido, who graduated from the Wharton School, was to understand not just what is the what are the financial implications to biotech startups, but maybe equally important, what are the innovation implications? What does that mean when you receive funding from a different capital provider? And if I just briefly highlight our findings, what we find is that corporate-backed biotechnology startups tend to exhibit higher innovation rates. They tend to do better in terms of their patenting output as well as in terms of their scientific publication output, both at the time when they receive the investment and maybe more importantly, 4 years after receiving the investment. So we report evidence to suggest that the identity of the investor has significant implication on the startup's innovation trajectory.
Which, if any, of your conclusions surprised you?
One of the things that was really interesting was to uncover the magnitude of the effect of the different investors. Specifically, if I take a step for a second and describe the analysis, we basically look at a couple of categories of startups, and we divide them into innovation leaders. Those are biotechnology startups that tend to perform or tend to have a patenting output and publication output above the median for the age group. And innovation laggards, who are basically the reverse of those startups that have below median level of patenting and publication output. What was really surprising to see was that corporate investors tend to convert innovation laggards into innovation leaders within a four-year post-investment at a rate of 28%. That is about double the rate we have seen for independent VCs, who tend to convert innovation laggards into leaders at a rate of only 14%. The sheer magnitude of being affiliated with a corporate investor seems to be quite important. And when we dig slightly further into that, we look at a couple of mechanisms that seem to be associated with this evidence. The first one of them is proximity, specifically the ability to leverage knowledge, infrastructure, laboratories, and so on and so forth of the large corporation. The second one has to do with the ability to navigate clinical trial, compliance, and other requirements that are important in taking science and developing it into a drug that you and I can find in the marketplace.
Could you tell us a little bit about the study's design?
Great. And so the final report here basically track back to two companion papers, one of them published in the Nature Biotechnology a couple of years ago, and another one that is forthcoming, the Strategic Management Journal. What we have done is we've basically looked at the population of U.S.-based biotechnology startups that have been active between 1990 and 2003. And we have further tracked the patenting and publication performance 7 years out. We specifically categorized those startups into four categories, looking at the performance in terms of patenting and scientific publication. You would be annoyed as an innovation laggard if your patenting and publication track record is above your age median value for your age cohort, and you would be denoted as an innovation laggard if you are below the median value, both in terms of patenting and publication. We then ask the following question. Those that are innovation leaders, what fraction of them have been funded by independent VCs? And what fraction of them have been funded by corporate investors? We looked at two points in time. What was their innovation profile at the time they received the investment? As well, and maybe more importantly, 4 years down the line, once the investor effect have had a chance to play out. What we find out is that there's A, evidence of selection. Corporates tend to invest in more innovative startups. But importantly, there's also evidence of nurturing and affecting the innovation trajectory. Corporates are associated with a greater increase in innovation performance in comparison to independent VCs. Maybe one last important point to note is that oftentimes those corporate investments are as part of a syndicate that involves independent VCs along with a large corporate investor.
Specifically, what are some of the practical implications of your findings for business or consumers or regulators or other researchers?
Well, that's an excellent question, and we believe that there's important implication for at least three major groups. For entrepreneurial ventures, and especially founders of these biotechnology startups who are interested in offering a therapeutic solution, a new therapeutic solution to the world, what we do is we help them navigate or make sense of this new funding landscape. There are the traditional independent venture capitalists. There are increasingly many corporate investors and so on and so forth. And our finding, to the best of my knowledge, is the first one to actually tell entrepreneurs and biotech founders what would be the innovation implication, what would their patenting and publication record look like if they were to be affiliated with one type of investor versus another, at least by looking at evidence from past biotechnology startups. For investors, I think the implications are also quite important. A lot of the findings that we report here are based on syndicates that involve corporate and venture capitalists. And so we call into attention the fact that there are real opportunities for different types of investors to work hand in hand in syndicating and supporting research that is both financially lucrative and have high innovation potential. And then finally, for policy makers, we think that there's really important evidence in terms of the role that relatively new capital providers play out. It could be the case that startups affiliated with a large corporation might seem as simply a corporate affiliate or a corporate division and might not be able to enjoy the same federal resources or other grants and so on and so forth. By showing that corporate venture capital backed startups actually have significant innovation performance, we call policymakers to embrace those kind of startups and those kind of investors as an important part of the biotech ecosystem.
What misperceptions held by the public or the media or others might your study dispel?
Well, I think that we have seen the act of, or not the act, the presence of corporate venture capital progress in multiple waves over the last century and this century. Some date back the first observation, if you wish, or witnessing of a corporate investor back to the 60s. We are now arguably in the fifth wave of corporate venture capital. And there's a strong sense of what these kind of investors can and cannot provide. What our findings suggest is that, at least in the world of life sciences, where you have long-standing corporate investors, GSK's venture arm, Johnson & Johnson, as well as others that have been around for many years, such as Pfizer's, Eli Lilly, Takeda, and other, they seem to be an important part of funding biotechnology startups, and maybe increasingly so as many venture capitalists are rethinking the amount of allocation of funds that they have into this sector.
So what sets your research apart from other analysis conducted on this topic?
That's an excellent question. A lot of the work that we have seen in this space takes a look at the financial performance. How do different investors perform in terms of financial metrics, return on investment, likelihood of going IPO, and so on and so forth. And we believe that these are extremely important parameters, and we endorse much of the research, either by practitioners or academics. However, we believe that in certain sectors, in the life sciences in particular, it is important to look not just at the financial performance of the startups, but whether or not they live up to the motto of actually being vehicles of introducing new-to-the-world innovation. At the end of the day, you and I and all of us are looking for new drugs, new therapeutic solutions, and so on and so forth. And we specifically focus not on the financial dimension, but rather on the innovation dimension, patenting and publication of cutting-edge therapies and drugs and so on and so forth, in order to understand whether changes in the funding landscape have an impact on innovation and not just financial outcome.
What will you look at next? How will you follow up your research?
And so we have at least a couple of ways in which we would like to push this forward. The first one is we would try to better understand the mechanism by which large pharmaceutical companies support research and development or innovation outcome of biotechnology startups. We already have some evidence in terms of the structure of the corporate venturing units, the relationship with the startups, and how that affects innovation performance. In another stream, what I would like to look at is basically what other sectors in which corporates becoming increasingly important players might pan out. Now, when we look at the world around us, we see an explosion of corporate investors. If it's in retail, through defense, if it's in fashion, through high tech, we see corporates becoming more and more active in investing in startups. If I look at some of the findings that we have over here, I think that there are certain sectors that experience a growth in corporate investment that might exhibit similar patterns. And so specifically in the automobile industry, where the digital revolution, the connected car, autonomous driving, and so on and so forth, have led GM, BMW, and many others to set up their own venture arm. These industries exhibit long development time horizon, maybe similar to that in the life sciences, substantial CapEx investment, similar to the one in life sciences, and could have or likely to exhibit similar patterns in terms of the role and contributions of these corporates in their support of startups within that sector.
For more business news and analysis from Knowledge at Wharton, please visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.